And if you would, first of all, let's turn to the book of Isaiah just a moment. And I want you to look at a verse there in chapter 3, or chapter 4, rather. There's also a verse in 3 that I use a lot of times, but in Isaiah chapter 4, I want us to read verse 2 and 3. In verse 2 it says, "In that day shall the branch of the Lord's be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that in he that is left in Zion, and he that remaineth in Jerusalem, shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem." I believe here the Isaiah is, of course, talking about a future event that's going to happen. And as he discusses it, the beautiful and fruitful part that will happen in Jerusalem, and I think we understand that from other passages that we might look at. As you think on that one, I want you to note chapter 23 of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 5 says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." Now, as we think about all of that, I think we have in mind the time, and the prophets have in mind, the time that Jesus our Lord is going to be on this earth, and of course will serve the part that he intends to do. But from Isaiah's part, he uses a little term there that I wanted to bring our lesson about. Let's notice again in verse 3 of Isaiah 4. "And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, and that he remaineth in Jerusalem, shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem." Underline in your Bible, if you draw lines, that word "that is written," because that's where we're going to start. Now I'd like for you to turn to the book of Luke in chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, I want first to look at verse 1. It says, "After these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come." It's kind of interesting to me, the very fact, and that's another lesson, that he chose 70. You know, we often think of the apostles as 12, but we see here on this occasion, our Lord sent 70 men out. And he gave them power, as we read on, if you read the rest of the chapter. And they were to go from house to house. And they were even able, and look at verse 9, and heal the sick that were there, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. So we see the events as they were happening, that these 70 were able to do that. And this brings a conclusion that we want to read, verse 17 through 20. Verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding this, not all over here, notice that, not just because you can do all of these wonderful things, but look at verse 20. Notwithstanding this, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Here we see that idea and that thought. Jesus tells them, don't rejoice because you were able to do all of these things, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That brings to mind some things that we want to think about. Names written in heaven. Turn to Philippians a moment. The book of Philippians. And I want us to go to chapter 4 first. In Philippians chapter 4, and I want you to look at verse 3. Here, of course, Paul writing to the church there and the Christians there. But in verse 3, he says, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with others, my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Here, in other words, he names the fact that there is a book of life that their names are in. And these are people who helped Paul and assisted him in the gospel, in the preaching of the gospel. While you're in that area, turn, look at chapter 3 of Philippians and look at verse 20. He says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ. What? Here he says our conversation or our life is in heaven, for whence also we look for the Savior and the Lord Jesus. So it's, I think the thing and the point I wanted to make was, in all of this, what do we see? Are our names written in heaven? Is your name written in heaven? You know, we might go to the book of Hebrews, another place. And in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23, Hebrews 12. Got mine stuck together too. In 23, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to the God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. But you notice there in verse 23, he's talking about the general assembly and church of the firstborn which are written in heaven. It sounds like if we were to trace all through the Bible, there is a thought, and a thought is that our names are written when we become Christians, our names are written in heaven. I want us to look at something that's kind of unusual. Let's go back into the Old Testament a minute. Let's go back to, first of all, let's go back to Exodus. And in Exodus, and I want us to look at chapter 32. In 32, now there was an occasion where Moses had a problem, and as he comes to the Lord, he comes to the Lord with that problem. And let's just read there. Start with verse 31. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, all this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sins, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Isn't that something as we think about it? Here he's talking about people who have sinned. And he says, those who have sinned, I blot out of my book. So it is very easy to have our names blotted out of the book once we have been entered into the book of life. And there's a lot of times that he mentions the book of life. Let me get my book out here where I can look at it. But as we think about it, how is it that we can have ours? Let's turn to the book of Revelation a minute. In the book of Revelation, let's start out with very early in the book. You know, it's mentioned several times in the book of Revelation. Let's look at, first of all, in chapter 3. In chapter 3, look at here. Let's look about, well, verse 4. He's in verse 4. He says, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Here he's talking about those Christians now. He's writing to a church the church at Sardis. And then look at verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. Here again we see this thought or this idea then that there is a book. There's a book in heaven, and when we become Christians, our name is written in that book. Now here, I think, as we see in this scripture, here in verse 5 of chapter 3, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. That would be the saved. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. It was interesting as I looked at some of these verses. There was a number of verses in the book of Revelation that you think about where this thought or this idea is there. Turn over to chapter 13. In chapter 13, look at verse 8. In verse 8, he says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any have an ear, let him hear. And so here is again the thought and the idea of writing in a book of life, which would be the book in heaven. And here he talks about those whose names are not written in that book. Turn to chapter 17 of Revelation. In chapter 17, let's go to verse 8 again. It says, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. So here again, the idea and the thought that there is a book written of life. And here they were concerned about that. Turn to chapter 20 of Revelation. Chapter 20. We have a period here, one of the verses that I often use because it looks like it's judgment, final judgment. And I'm going to read because I think that's what it is. Let's just start about verse 9, but we're going to want to get on down. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints. Shout and beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. There, of course, we see though a bunch who is lost. And then let's go on. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Certainly we see judgment. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. That, of course, is plural books there. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now then get this, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This book of life that is kept in heaven is one that we need to be concerned with. Is our name written in that book? And we also see that it can, as we looked at some of the scriptures, it can be blotted out of that book. Notice on as we let's go on here a little bit more. Go over to chapter 21. In chapter 21, let's look here at verse 27. In verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which were written in the Lamb's book of life. All of these other sins, we see there are sins that you can't be written in that book of life. So in the book of Revelations, we see it several times. We see it again over in verse 22, chapter 22. Look at verse 19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which were written in the book. In other words, here we see what would happen if a people tried to change the Word of God and take things out of it. Here we see they would have their name removed from this book of life, which we don't want to happen. You know, as we think about it, there are many ways that our name can be removed from it. But first of all, we want to get in it. We want to be written in it. We want to be written in that book. And I think as we read all through the Bible, we can come to a conclusion that there are many things that we must do if we're going to have our name written in that book. You know, one of the first places we run onto it, of course, is in John chapter 3 and verse 5. He says, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Well, there, of course, we must be born again if we're going to be in the kingdom of God. And, of course, that's where we will have our name written in the heavenly book. It's when we become Christians. You know, not just living a good life like Cornelius. His name was not written, and it was necessary for him to become a Christian. And, of course, in chapter 11 of Acts, we find that he finally does become one. In chapter 11 and verse 14, here he was told that whosoever tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. He, of course, had him to spread the gospel, and Peter did. And here, what he brought to him was that. And he was words that his and his house would be saved. So it was necessary. You know, one of the favorite scriptures in all of the New Testament early is found in Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, and it kind of lays it out for us, I think. Verse 21 says, "Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." As we think about our name being written in heaven, we're going to have to be obedient and do his will. That's how we're going to have our name written in heaven. And we see that it will be there at the time judgment takes place, when this old place is destroyed. The thing that we have will be judged by that. You know, and I always remember the scripture in chapter 12 of John that was wrote on my cap, that we'll be judged by every word out of our mouth. We're going to be judged by everything in this life. And we need to be prepared for it and ready to stand before God in judgment and have our name written in the book of life and not blotted out as it is. Now, there's many other scriptures that refer to it. I was thinking there was one even in the book of Daniel. When you look up so many things like this, you sometimes don't get it all put together. But in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, "And at that time shall Michaelis stand up, great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." There we have it, written in the book. The same thing that we find in Luke about the 70 people. The same thing that we read about in Exodus 32 and 32, where Moses had talked to the Lord, and he was told that his name was written in the book, but there'd be names blotted out. And it'd be those who sinned would have their names blotted out. So it's a marvelous thing as we think about it. And there are some other places we could look at. Psalms has several. And we could continue to look at it. But the fact we need to concern, what are the reasons for our name being blotted out? It's sin. And I think we could let's go to Revelation again. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3. We looked at that a while ago. Look at verse 16 in Revelation chapter 3. He says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou that cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will purge thee out of my mouth. Here, they were neither hot, cold or hot. They were lukewarm, and he condemns them for it. And that, again, is the very thing that we see. And of course, we'd already read verse 5, he that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. What a thought. And I think there are other things we could look at, sins in the world, that bring about the fact that our name will be blotted out. But first of all, we need to become Christians to have our name written in that book of life. We need to obey the gospel. Jesus told the apostles when he went back into heaven, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You know, that's when your name's written in the book of life. And then we can serve him day by day. Well, we're told in the Bible to not forsake the assembling together of yourselves. We're told to take communion. You know, people would have their name blotted out because they don't assemble. They can have their name blotted out because they don't take communion. They could have their name blotted out because they don't give. They could have their name blotted out because of all kinds of sins that are in this world. What about you this morning? Is your name written in heaven, or is it blotted out?